everybody's here for a purpose, and that you're going to hear something from God today. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Will you stand with me? Don't forget about the service tonight. We begin at 6 p.m. Everyone is invited. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city of house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, when the kingdom of God is come unto you, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. I want to preach to you today, if the Lord will help me, believe he's going to, on ancient spirits. Ancient spirits, pray with me. Pray God help me this morning in my body as well. Father, I love you today. I thank you for the blessing it is to be able to be in the house of God. I thank you for your hand that is upon us and upon this service. Lord, you have ordained this very day. And in spite of any type of attack against the enemy upon our lives or our church, we stand victorious today because of the blood of Jesus and because of the authority that you have given us, Lord, in that mighty name, which is above every name. Anoint us, Lord, God, that we would all leave here knowing that we've heard from you and that you are going to do something great. And in these altars, Lord, there are people under attack this very morning. Our nation is under attack. Our communities are under attack. And Lord, I pray that you would help me expose the tricks of the enemy this very morning. That these things are not new, but men and women have been dealing with these types of things throughout time. Nothing new, Lord, and we know that you always calls us to triumph. Have your way, Lord, and we're going to praise you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Ancient spirits. There are spirits at work today that are against us. They are ancient spirits. They are not something that, hallelujah, not something that has newly come on the scene. This is not something new that's taking place. Oftentimes we see things happening in our society and we think, well, this is something new to us and to our generation. But there are ancient spirits that have been at work from the very beginning. They are working against us and are against our churches and against our community, against our nation, and really the whole world has been under attack always. And many believe that they're new today and working today against us, new for our generation. But the Bible reveals that they have been set against us, set against this world from the very beginning of time. And we see the truth of this matter as we read the Word of God. But the greatest tragedy concerning this topic today is that many people, even many Christians, do not realize that many of the terrible things that are going on in our society today are the results of demonic influence. We have come to a time where we are teaching people that many of the things are physical or many of them are mental. problems, that their mental issues that they're going through. And so what do we do? Because of that education, we are treating them with medication, with psychiatrists, psychologists, and with heavy medication in an attempt to help them get over something that has happened to them in the past that has caused them to make lifestyle choices presently. Now, I'm not speaking lightly of people that have went through abusive situations, gone through tragedies and so forth and so on, but the root of even someone being hurt is the source of that is of a demonic influence. And so, but you cannot solve spiritual problems with the solutions that come from the world. It's impossible. We can treat them all that we want, but it only will treat the symptoms. A sleeping pill may help someone go to sleep, but the anxiety that haunts that person can only be solved by the greatest antidepressant that has ever been, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, to have the peace of God and the peace with God brings much peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Too many times Christians try to solve spiritual problems with solutions that have come from the world. But spiritual problems can only be solved by the blood of Jesus, by the holy word of the living God, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Ancient spirits. There are many different types of demons in the Bible. How they work and how they attack are taught to us by examples and even direct statements telling us the plans that Satan tries to fulfill. I'm not preaching this morning this thing to glorify the devil, but I have come to expose him for who he is and what he attempts to do against the church. If we don't realize what we are up against, we're going to lose the battle. We can slough it off as being something else and just, you know, go along our merry little way, but we will continue to lose the battles that we face against the enemy of our soul each and every day of our lives. If we don't realize what we're up against, we will lose. But to help us discover the ancient spirits that are against us today. You see, why is it important? It's because the devil covers himself and presents himself as an angel of light, but he is the angel of darkness. The Bible provides an abundance of evidence of the existence of demons. We read it. If you've read your Bible, you've read it for yourself. The Bible provides these things for us. Satan, his evil angels are known in the scripture as demons. Satan fell from heaven. Others shared in his fall when he was cast out. We read about this in the scriptures in Ezekiel 28, Matthew 25, and Revelation 12. Over 70 times in the New Testament, we find the word daima. It is a Greek word, and it is in the King James is translated to the word devil each time. Many Christians, though, would rather us not talk about demonic things. We said, oh, it's kind of a scary subject. Why do we want to talk about that? Can't you just preach on Jesus? And, well, we do that about 95% of the time. But we want to leave that eerie subject alone and just talk about the Lord. But the problem is this. With many people today, they don't realize what they are fighting. Many church-going Christians today go through a battle over and over again, cannot get victory over something, cannot seem to get beyond a certain point because they do not realize that there is a devil that tries to steal, kill, and to destroy us. It's all types of tricks and all types of devices that would try to hinder us from being what God wants us to be. And until you realize that there is a real devil, that he really does exist, and he is out to hurt you and kill and steal and to destroy you, you will never have the victory really that you need in God or can have in God. But the first step in defeating your enemy is knowing who your enemy is. We see demons attack in many different ways in the scripture. We could preach a while on this, but I won't spend a lot of time on this specifically today because of time. There's an abundance of evidence in the Bible. Physical illness. You can read, I could spend a whole message on how, not, I'm not saying if you're sick today that you're not saved. No, no, no. I'm talking about it is an attempt and it's an attack upon the enemy. How many of you feel real spiritual when you get real down sick? You just have to say, Lord, you know, you call somebody, can you pray for me? I'm so sick I can't pray for myself. You ever been that way? Don't always feel real spiritual, but we're under, it's a plenty of evidence in the scripture that there, this is an attack of the enemy. Mental impairment, the spread of false doctrine, spiritual warfare, demonic, even demonic possession, is how these types of demons attempt to attack people and the church. There are different opinions, though, concerning how demons came in. You know, what was their origin? I believe that to them to be a part of the fallen angels that caught up and got caught up in the rebellion of Lucifer when he was cast out of heaven. Those of you that don't know, the devil, Satan, his name, his created name was Lucifer. He was created by God. He was the anointed cherub. And the Bible tells us that he wanted to be thought of as God. He wanted to be exalted as God was exalted in heaven. He rebelled against God. God cast him out of heaven. And the third of the angels in heaven were cast out with him. He had victory over the devil then. He has victory this morning. Amen? I believe that to be the demons that were with the angels, the fallen angels that were cast out with Lucifer. They're, demons are not the spirits of deceased loved ones. That is a fallacy in this world today. They may appear to look, I believe people see ghosts, but I don't believe they're ghosts. I believe it's demonic activity. I believe that. Why do you say, Pastor? Well, the deceased of wicked men, you know where they are? They're in hell. And when someone goes to hell, they go for eternity. They don't get a weekend pass to come haunt you at your house. It's just a fact. If they could leave hell, then we know the story of rich man and Lazarus. Remember him? The rich man found himself in hell, and he was pleading that he would be able to leave to go back and warn his loved ones of the terrible place that he was in. No, 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 you can't do that. You're going to have to stay there. The Bible also says that those that die in the Lord, that they can be absent from the body, but if they're absent from the body, they are present with the Lord. They're not in your living room. It is the devil that comes against to try to strike fear. Amen, and there's only one solution, and it is the power of Almighty God that can bring deliverance in those types of situations. So there are some other suggestions. We won't get into those today because I believe with all of my heart the demons are fallen angels that were cast out when Lucifer rebelled against God. Regardless of how they were originated, we know they exist because the Bible talks about them so frequently. Christians must be careful of dealing with things of the occult, playing around with Ouija boards, watching movies that are full of devils and demonic possession and things of that nature, the type of music that people listen to. Be careful the things that you allow to get in your ears, because if it gets in your ears, it's going to get in your spirit. Begin to affect you. I would, if I were you, I would go through my house. Everything that I could possibly think of, and if it even resembled a devil or anything wicked at all, I'd throw it in the garbage. Amen. Even kids' toys. I picked up kids' toys before I went. Scared me to death because of what they look like. Oh, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not in my house. If it's wrong, it can be wrong in the garbage, not in my house. To have that type of thing, to be careful. There's been Christians and even youth groups that have gotten off and played around with things like this, and it's caused great, great trouble spiritually in their hearts and in their lives, in their churches. Things like that will grab a hold of your soul and will lead you down a terrible path Amen. Stay awake from it. It's dangerous and it is real. Don't ever think that those things aren't real, that it's just make-believe. I believe the makers of a lot of movies today are demon-possessed or at least influenced by, I've seen some of the most horrifying, terrifying things, and it's getting worse and worse and worse all the time. Why? Because there's an influence in this world today, and it's getting a hold of people. Be careful of the entertainment that you partake in and the activities that you partake in. They will influence you for the negative or for the positive. Let's talk about this for a little bit today. The first demon I want to talk to you about is the demon of Molech. The Bible gives this a name, Molech. We think there is some type of strange phenomenon that's going on in our world today. That it's only been going on, this type of thing's only been going on for the last 40 years or so. We give him this name because that's what the Bible gives him. You see, he had no prominence in Scripture until the reign of Solomon. The worship of Molech was going on before then, but seemingly in Scripture, in a time in history, it was more prevalent then than it had been in the past. I don't know why the timing is presented like that in Scripture. Maybe it's connected to the sinfulness that was surrounded by David and Bathsheba in the generation before. I'm not sure. It doesn't tell us this, but I do know this thing. Solomon didn't have enough sense not to marry 700 wives and 300 concubines. We'll try to stay out of trouble. 700 wives and 300, and we pass over that because somehow it was accepted in the Bible times. But it sounds like to me Solomon had one thing on his mind. The spirit of lust had grabbed a hold of him. God never intended for things like that to be. But nevertheless, we're not sure, but during his reign, even though the Bible never describes Molech specifically as a demon, the worship of Molech was a recurring problem for the nation of Israel. The origin of worshiping of Molech is unclear, but we do know it was prevalent among the Canaanite people. Increased more and more during the reign of Solomon. Even in Jerusalem, it was a strong force of worship. In Jerusalem until the Babylonians took them into captivity and took the city. Wicked people. It took a wicked people. Listen to this. It took a wicked people to stop the worship of Molech. Because they would rather have those children as their own slaves. The worship of Molech. What is that, Pastor? I'm not sure. They made an image of Molech that they had worshipped. They would worship like this. They would set the image of Molech on fire and get him burning hot. And his arms would begin to get so hot that they would glow red with burning embers. And they would take their infant children and place them into the burning arms of Molech. And they would destroy their own children through the worship of this demon. Pastor, what has that got to do? What do you think is going on today? What do you think is going on in our society today? Molech is just in business as much today as he's ever been. He is just as real today than he's ever been. He is very much still being worshipped in this nation of America in 2016. Did you know that every day in America, on the average, 3,000 babies are aborted? Ever since 1972, abortions have increased more and more. We're getting close to 50 million babies aborted. I looked up some of the numbers. In 2005, 1.2 million were aborted just in our country. Up to this point in 2016, the records that I saw are already up to 700,000. The other years in between, the numbers go up
and go down. There were years when Molech had good years and he had not as good in other times. In the United States of America, a nation, one nation that is under God, and other years in between, you see. But oh, and did you know we're at close to 50 million? But did you know worldwide that there are over 40 million abortions every year? People have taken their babies and thrown them into the burning arms of Molech, and they have called it the God of free choice. Let me, before I go any farther, there may be an opportunity, a situation here this morning. There may be a lady in this congregation that you've made this choice in the past. I want to tell you, the love of God is for you. The mercy of God, the grace of God, complete restoration is available to you. I'm not condemning an individual. I'm trying to expose what the devil is doing and has been doing for a very, very long time. If you've made that choice, God is waiting on you and wanting to help you and wanting to bless you and turn everything around. I know there's troubling hearts. Sometimes when young ladies or older ladies have to feel like they make this decision for one reason or another, and they go down that path, but it's the wrong path. But God, I said, but God is rich in mercy. His grace is amazing, and he is able to restore you in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. But it's not a woman's choice. It's not a man's choice, but it's God's choice who lives and dies. And when we take that, when God is the giver of all life, and when people take that life that God has given, it is called murder. Our society would never call it what it is, but they would never say we are worshiping the spirit of Molech, but it is idolatry. Children are being sacrificed because of they are worshiping oneself, sacrificing children to appease self. It doesn't matter if the pregnancy complicates your life. It doesn't matter if the girl can't go to school. It doesn't matter if they have to go on welfare to take care of the child. When God gives a life, he intends for it to follow through until his plan is over with that life that he has given. No one has the right to take life except for God. You say, Pastor, none of us are doing these things. Praise the Lord. So what do? We got to rise up against it. The church has been silent against the issue of abortion. We've got to stand up and say something. We've got to stand up and pray against the spirit of Molech. To stand up and say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. It's good timing probably to say, we need to get out and vote against it. Amen. Someone asked me the other night about me giving recommendations on who and what the church should vote for. I know other pastors have done that. That's them. My opinion, that's not Graham Chancey's place to do that. But I am compelled to speak against social issues that involve unrighteousness. Things like abortion, things like, friend, we're going to be facing things in the next few years if the wrong person is elected. Amen, that the religious liberties and the religious freedoms that we are having now, they're already being fought against, and it's going to become more and more all the time. Amen, but a Christian should vote. Their vote should be influenced not by the gender of the candidate, not by their race, not even by their political party, amen, or even their personality. A Christian's vote should be influenced by the candidate's stance on social issues. Abortion, same-sex marriage. Why is it important, Pastor, for us to vote against that type of thing? In this election, probably a lot of you have already voted. In this election coming up, the next president, The next president is probably going to elect two or three, if not four, Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court. However, if they put very liberal, progressive judges on there, the morality and the morality of our nation is just going to continue to go down and down and down. If you think the last 4 years this world is out of control, you wait until the next 4 years. Pastor, you act like there's a savior on somebody running that's going to just save everything for our nation. No, we don't have one of them either. Somebody wrote the other day, it's always going to be the lesser of two evils unless Jesus is on the ballot. But Pastor, I think of economic issues when I want our economy to be going. I know the other issues are very important. I know abortion is one, and these other issues are important. But I believe our economy, you know, that's the most important thing. And I think this person, friend, if you put issues of the economy on a higher priority list than you do social issues or even abortion, you are saying that money going in your pocket is more important to you than righteousness or even the life of a child. Bible says in Luke 16 and 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible also emphasizes that righteousness always comes first. Always. Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Friend, if you're trusting in a politician and their policies to put more money in your pocket, well, I got to get this person in the White House, you know, because they're just going to make it better for me financially. You're putting more trust in them than you are God. If God can't take care of me and can't bless me, then there's not a politician, man, woman, black, white, brown, it doesn't matter who it is, they can't do it either. That's just a fact of life. That's just the facts. You're going to have a chance to speak Tuesday if you haven't already. I think we ought to say those who approve of abortion, we ought to clean them out. We will. You say, Pastor, will my vote really make a difference? Do you remember back in the year 2000, the presidential race in the state of Florida came down to 537 votes? Out of millions, it came down to 500. It's going to be close. Our state of Florida is going to play a big role, as it always does, in electing the next president of the United States. As people of God and as good Americans, you need to get out and vote. If you haven't, get out there on Tuesday. Pastor, who are you going to vote for? Okay, I'm going to tell you who I'm going to vote for. You ready? The unborn babies. Your vote may save some children from being killed one day. I knew we weren't going to shout too much today, but that's just the way it is. Secondly, there's another demon that is given a name in the scriptures. His name is Legion. We read about him in Mark chapter 5. The man of Gadarenes, he was so possessed, no man could contain him, not even placing him in chains. He would always break loose from them. The Bible describes him as there living among the tombs, among the dead, living there so tormented by Legion that he was cutting himself, abusing his body. get the name Legion. When he announces what his name is in the scripture, he says, I am Legion, for we are many. Other places in the scripture, it seems like demons, the demons of hell, they come together. Seems like demons congregate. The Bible teaches us that when a person gets delivered and that person goes back to that thing that they were delivered from, that seven more take its place from the original. There's a congregation oftentimes of demonic forces. It's amazing to me that the demons of hell can come together sometimes in more unity than the kingdom of God can. How is it that demons get along better than some Christians do? Legion. He dwelled in tombs. He was living among the dead, cutting himself, abusing himself. If you're here this morning and you go through difficult times in your life and you cut yourself, that is an epidemic in our society today among young people. It's not a mental issue. It's a spiritual one. You can go back into the scriptures and places where people were throwing themselves into the fire, cutting themselves. They were under a demonic influence at the time. There is an evil influence that attempts to attach himself to people, to causes them to abuse themselves. If you're here this morning, you're going through something like that, I want to tell you there's help for you. Cutting yourself is not going to help you. The enemy is vicious in its planning and causes the victim of this type of influence to think that somehow that is releasing some type of pain that they're going through. But Jesus Christ is able to make you whole. Legion is the demonic influence that causes people to go beyond just abusing themselves, but even causes people to contemplate suicide. We can get to that place where they are so depressed that they begin to think that the best way out is just to take their own life. I say this with caution, but with some urgency this morning. If you're having thoughts of suicide or hurting yourself or even taking your own life, I want to urge you, I want to plead with you to speak the words of Jesus. Call upon the name of Christ, because there's help for you. No matter how you feel, things are going wrong in your life. You may think nobody loves you. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you more than anybody could ever love you. He loved you so much that he died for you. Hallelujah. Pastor, why is it necessary? No, it's important to know why we do the things we do. Why we're going through the things. Well, it's because of demonic activity. Doesn't make you a bad person. Doesn't mean that you're possessed by the devil. No, understand, I'm just saying he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he attacks us many, many different ways. And if he can cause you to hurt yourself or take your life, he is a demon of mutilation and suicide. If he's fighting or speaking to you in this way, you can't have victory. Because of the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost today. Lastly, number three, we read about him in Revelation chapter 9. His name that the Bible gives him is Abaddon. In the Greek, it's Apollyon. He is the destroyer. He is a destroyer of the Christian, a destroyer of the family, a destroyer of the church. I already quoted to you John 10:10, for the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. One of the most terrifying descriptions of Abaddon is found in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. But go to verse 2 if you have that, Sister Lynn. Verse 2 says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out the smoke locust upon the earth, and upon them was given power, and as the scorpions of the earth had power, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should torment them 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This is talking about the time of the tribulation. All the way down through is a description of who they were. Verse 8 says, and they had hair as the hair of a woman. Their teeth were as teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, and the breastplates were iron, and the sound of the wings were the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and their stings and their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Then it tells us who the king of those beasts and demons were that were released from hell, and their king was Abaddon. He inflicts pain and suffering. They are described earlier in that chapter like locusts. Locusts that go and fly out. I don't know if you've ever had any experience with this. You can read about the destruction that locusts can have. When locusts come into an area, they will come into the crops, and they don't take just a few things, but they absolutely wipe them out. The stories of locusts coming through farms and just leaving just a little bit of something sticking out of the ground. Not only the fruit from off of whatever is growing there, or the product that was there, but all the way down. See, that's what the enemy is trying to do to my life and to your life. He's trying to destroy you. But he doesn't always go for the jugular all at one time. Little by little, he leads us through a series of influences in our lives that will cause us to go deeper and deeper and farther away from God. It can start out as small as just an attempt to keep you out of the house of God. It can influence you to pick up small little habits that are detrimental to your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's like a hunter. He's a hunter in which, when a hunter goes out deer hunting or hunting for turkey, they sit up in a tree or out against a tree somewhere with camouflage, and they use everything they can have at their disposal to keep the prey from realizing that they're being hunted. That's what the devil does. I've never been deer hunting before, but I'm smart enough to know this. The deer hunter just doesn't run through the woods with a gun saying, here I come. But for many people's minds, that's what the devil would have to do to you for you to understand what he's trying to do. He doesn't operate like that. He sits back, camouflaged among everything else in your busy schedule and everything else in this world. He'll even give things that are good and okay and place them in their lives that will cause us, if we're not careful, to gradually decline, to gradually slip away. Be careful. You say, Pastor, I'm going through something. I feel like the locust has invaded my harvest, invaded my family, invaded my ministry, invaded my life. Well, there's a prophecy in the scripture. There's a prophecy in the scripture that God promises to restore all that the locust, all that the cankerworm, all that has come to destroy. There's a promise of restoration. All that the enemy has tried to bring in to destroy your life and mine, God has promised that there comes a time that he pours out restoration into our lives. It's a promise from the Lord. Talked a lot about the devil this morning, but let me tell you, you can have victory through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus, through his word, which is the sword of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. He comes to bring back all that the enemy has tried to destroy. Stand with me, if you will. Will you just pray, bow your heads. Let's pray for a moment here. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We honor you, Lord. We love you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, your love that goes beyond what we're able to comprehend or understand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for those individuals that are in the service today, that they have been influenced by the attack of the enemy to abuse their bodies, putting things in their bodies that is defiling them, hurting them. The families that are here today that have been affected by cutting, the demons that would attempt to cause people to hurt themselves, mutilate themselves, inflict pain, I come against him. I come against that devil in the name of Jesus this morning. I plead the blood that was shed at Calvary for their victory, for their help, for their blessing today in the house of God. We take authority today over the demons that would cause us to hurt ourselves. For that one that has contemplated suicide in their lives, Lord, I pray that you would speak peace to them and that they would know today was for them. Their rescue is available today. That their only help for such a thing as this is to lay hold of Jesus this morning. Lord, I pray for those in the building this morning that has been battling the destroyer, that he has come causing havoc in their lives. The blessings that you have given them seems like they have slipped through their hands, like locusts have come in to the farm and attempting to destroy all of it. Maybe they stand here today, Lord, and they're in a place where it seems like their harvest is gone. They're in a place of barrenness, a place where seemingly they feel like they're in defeat. Lord, I thank you for restoration. I thank you for your healing and what you're going to do in their lives today. Thank you, Lord, for helping us see what the enemy tries to do. Lord, I pray that from my right to my left, there are hearts that have heard what you've had to say today, and that they're going to respond for the help that they need. In Jesus' name. If you feel like you've been under attack in any way at all, you don't have to tell me or anybody else. God knows all about it. I want you to step out from where you are, and I want you to come pray. Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. You're first. I don't know if I can step out in front of me. I'm telling you, when you step out and make a statement like that, God, I'm coming to get some help. I don't care who sees me. Your healing and your help begins to take place right when your foot hits the floor, when you begin to draw near to God. The scripture says, God says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. If you feel like you've been under attack, I want you to come. I want you to step out from where you are. Let the grace of God help you. Let this be a turning point in your life this morning. Let this be a time where things begin to turn around. What the devil meant for evil, God is able to flip it around and make it work for your good. He'll fight for you. He'll work for you. You don't have to fight. You don't have to do the fighting. He'll fight for you today. If you'll come, I'm going to wait. They continue to move to pray for one another, and they can begin to sing. I want you to step out from where you are. Let the Lord help you today. Hallelujah. If you're here under the sound of my voice, you say, Pastor, I'm ready to turn my life over to Jesus this morning. Come. If you need healing in your body, come. Whatever, if you have a need, you just want to pray, I want you to come. Come down here while the Spirit of God is moving in such a wonderful way today. He'll help you. Whatever you have need of, He'll help you today.